listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asia. How's the you? Keep it real, take the red pill.
He's scheduled for 60 minutes next. He's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing. Yes, yes, yes. All right, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, B, and, well, I'm trying to make sense of things here with this trial of Derek Chauvin. I got my co-host here with me. Hopefully he's following on some of the stuff that's going on here. Will, you there?
Yeah, apparently some guy named George Floyd, something going on with that. I started Wikipedia page, so I did some in-depth research, but some guy, George Floyd, something about that. No, yeah, you know, in all seriousness, I have a lot of thoughts on this case, too. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. Usually there's the Democrat and Republican way to look at it. Then there's the more nuanced way to look at it. And then there's like the deeper occult way to look at it, and maybe the hidden in plain sight thing. So hopefully we can break a lot of that down. And one of the things that I do, I barely ever make a forecast, and I'm not necessarily making a forecast, but Minneapolis is a cold city. We're getting down into summertime, springtime, and hey, if this guy doesn't go to jail for a very long time, man, you can definitely expect to see riots in Minneapolis and across the country. So it's going to be very interesting watching this play out.
Okay. Sorry about the noise, guys. Apparently my headset makes noise when I have to switch the microphone up and down. But, oh, boy. Just finishing off breakfast here. Yeah. I agree with you on that one. It's, I don't have any doubt in my mind that this Chauvin will go to prison. My real concern is, will the whole group go to prison? Why is this just a trial with Derek Chauvin? He had henchmen. You know, there are other police officers that helped him do this. Okay? And I don't accept the whole, oh, well, I was doing crowd control. I watched the interview. I believe the one interview the Asian cop gave anybody 7 months ago, but his whole excuse was, oh, I was doing crowd control. You can't do crowd control on a crowd that's concerned about police brutality. What sense does that make? That makes sense to anybody?
It's absolutely crazy, right? It's like these people live in a whole different universe. Like, your excuse for watching somebody get knelt, and this is the biggest thing. You see a lot of the right-wing bootlickers saying, oh, he had fentanyl in his system. George Floyd had a terrible past. First of all, take a look at Derek Chauvin's past. Second of all, I don't care if George Floyd raped 17 kids before and had every single drug in his system. Cops are not, like, oh, this guy's on fentanyl? Let me kneel on his neck for a long time. It's absolutely crazy. And crowd control? Really, crowd control?
That was his excuse.
And that's the thing. I'm sorry. I mean, I had to watch a guy get murdered because of crowd control. And that's the best excuse that you got? That's very sad. That's very sad, dude. I mean, and it's interesting, too, because the chief of police, his fellow officers, eyewitnesses, experts are all coming out and saying, yeah, this guy dropped the ball. They're all, and it's interesting to see because we rarely see that with the thin blue line, but they're like, yeah, he's not trying to do this. Yeah, that was a bad move. He shouldn't have done that. You know, don't get me wrong. Being a police officer is a tough job, especially for people that do it for the right reasons and really care about our rights and our freedoms. And, you know, in the blink of an eye, you can make a decision and you can think it's the right decision and it can change your life and you could live with that for the rest of your life. And I'm not saying that this is an instance of that. But, you know, to say, hey, I had to work on crowd control. And I've been across this country and dealing with the officers, and the number one thing they're concerned with is officer safety. They're not concerned about your rights. They're not concerned about even the laws. They're concerned with officer safety, and we've had that there a number of times. So the disconnect between what officers and government officials are supposed to really be doing, the disconnect between what the proper power dynamic between citizenry and public servants should be, has been lost a long time ago. And it's interesting to see it play out. It's like the thing has gone full tilt and, you know, it has to kind of break into the mainstream here.
Yes. Well, I really think when you say and not qualified being a cop, again, this guy who I do believe he had been on the force for quite some time. I mean, close to 20 years or something, I do believe. How do you get to be on the force that long and not be promoted to sergeant, detective, lieutenant? I mean, I know being a police officer is a dead-end job. There's not much room for advancement. I mean, 40 years on the force, you barely make it to police captain. So, you know, these positions, really, you got to be a political puppet to begin with to even make it to captain, chief, commissioner, these sort of positions. You got to be politically up somebody's butt and somebody's politically got to be up yours. I understand that, but just there's some merit to that, those ranks, and it takes someone still dedicated to get there. But this person, as a grunt level officer near retirement, past 5 years, you're not a sergeant. I think you're doing something wrong, or somebody doesn't like you.
That's a great point, V. You know, I didn't even think about that, V. You're so incredibly smart thinking about some of these things. You and Enrique and some of the other people on the comments will point that out. Be like, wow, this guy's been there for a long time on the force, and he hasn't gotten anywhere in rank. And then there's this new generation of low IQ people. You know, you have to spend 6 months in most places to be a police officer. Some states, 2 years to be a barber. They don't teach you Constitution class. They're supposed to be law enforcement. They're not teaching the law. And then we got these roid head tackleberries like Chauvin and other people. I mean, there's a lot of police apologists out there, but police kill 3 citizens every single day. And people forget that police are not supposed to kill people. They're supposed to arrest people they believe have perpetrated a crime. They're supposed to have reasonable, articulable suspicion in order to do that, or warrant. And in other countries, I mean, obviously, the United States is different, and, you know, but there's other countries where people, they just don't get shot. People are trained to de-escalate, and even if they have a knife or a gun, and police are not trained on how to deal with people with mental illness, how to de-escalate. It's just a bunch of roid head tackleberries, for the most part, with low IQs. They got 6 months. They were picked on in high school, and now guess what? Or their daddy was a Mason, and they're a Mason, and they're a third generation, and, hey, they're running things.
Yes, the Blue Lodge. Yeah. I love that. And they really think they're somebody, but the thing about the Blue Lodge is, you know, that's anywhere from first degree, second degree, third degree, Freemason. Most cops don't get past third degree and the Freemasonry. So that's the Blue Lodge. And these are your barely initiates. These are your neophytes. And this is, you know, but even that, they take it as such a badge of honor and a position of authority that combined with their public service placement and how they're king of their own household, all these things put together, and most people will tell you, most cops are very abusive to their spouses and their children. So everything bleeds over from one area to the next. And there,
let me just back you up.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, yeah, just let me back you up with a couple stats. Actually, there have been two separate studies showing that police are 40% more likely to abuse their spouses or significant others than ordinary people. And just to give a very good example of what you were talking about before that, me and Enrique, Mr. America from Auditing America, were on the main strip in Daytona Beach. And we just finished a video, and Enrique was still filming. And there was a post office, the guy in a post office thing, and Enrique just walking out of the building, still filming. And he's like, "Hey, you can't film me. I'm a federal employee." This guy was a freaking post driver, and he's in the amount of entitlement he got from that. I mean, this guy's not even freaking like, "I'm a federal employee." I'm like, "Oh my god, dude, this is vastly different than our founders had envisioned," which is also that black people were three fifths of a human, some of them, except for Thomas Paine and Ben Franklin and a few others. But so there's some wins and some losses.
Well, it's something else. The corruption. So, the inflation of it too. It's the way I've had some cops talk to me. You know, just. I just the thoughts that I've had, you know, it's like, you know, I can end you within a moment's notice. It's just the arrogance of these people. I just don't know who they think they are.
Well, you know what it is, Vince? And I didn't recognize this until my friend pointed this out to me. He said, you know what? Police, they've never been challenged. You know, especially in the South, you know, the places that, you know, if the Freedom Riders would come down, they'd go and help harass you and, you know, gang stalk you. The police have never, ever been challenged, especially, there's been a few small historical instances, but overall, generally, the police have never really been challenged. And so for the first time with these video cameras and these auditors, police are actually being challenged and called out. Nobody ever talks back to the police. You know what I'm saying? That's not something people do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Be on your way. And now in the age of the internet, where people are able to spread the fact that, hey, I mean, know your rights videos. You know what I'm saying? That birthed this whole cop watching First Amendment audit thing, where it put people in the perspective to know their rights. And first time ever, cops are being challenged. And so it's creating a dynamic where some of them, they won't be able to allow their egos to be inflated. But, you know, unfortunately for them, there's been memos all across. There's been, you know, different trainings on how to act with these people. And they don't have to like it. And sometimes they still spaz out. But this is one of the examples where we are winning. And, you know, like it or not, the more, and you know, people we're just seeing the first wave of second wave, maybe, of these auditors. And, you know, cops have never, ever been challenged before. They've just been walking around like gods. They're eagles. They can park wherever they want. They can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. Nobody ever talks back to them. Dude, I was in court again today. You should see how these cops treat people. You over there, they start spazzing on people. Hey, you're not social distancing on the belt. Get back up, back up. Get away from that guy. I'm like, oh my God, there's not enough ganja in the world to give me patience for these people.
Well, and there are what I call mad dogs. There are, I've been invited to certain organizations. I'm not going to point them out by name, but I've been invited to certain organizations and immediately given a high rank at just, you know, either second or third in power in these organizations. But when I have to deal with that person who's second or third, you know, they're usually these mad dog types with egos. And they have severely lost focus of the point of what it is that they're doing because of the whole dominance and the attempt of establishing dominance over, you know, myself or someone else through sheer, you know, experience this. Do you know about this? And then challenging your knowledge. And then when you tell them that you, I know all that stuff, but do you know this? No, that doesn't matter. No. It does.
Yeah, I've heard that so many times. Like, if there was a stand-up comedy for conspiracy theorists, like, everybody been rolling. Like, it's funny because, you know, that is such a relatable thing to people in this movement. It's crazy. People are like, yeah, but it's not that. You don't understand. Crystals in the flat earth, dog? I don't care about the kids in the cages or the kids traffic. Da, da, da. It's so funny. I've heard that at least five times. That's your OG status right there coming through.
Yeah. I have respect for the OGs, but the thing is, it's the new school that's taken over. Okay, and I happen to be one of great knowledge. Yes, I've learned from the past, but it's the new school rules now, and nobody's playing by OG rules anymore. So, having to explain to a person, it's great that you know all this politics, but you don't know jack about technology. You don't know jack about how the intelligence community moves. Yeah, you're an old school player and you dealt with COINTELPRO, but things are different now. And just wasn't hearing it. So I had to let go. All right, guys, thank you for the invite. Thank you for the rank and all that, but I have to decline. I can do a much more effective, better job by myself. Thank you. So, yeah, and so, what actually went on with your court date today? You got an update for us?
Yeah, I know we're going to break in about 30 seconds, so I guess I'll get into that real quick. But basically, long story short, the courts were closed for a very long time here in Rhode Island, and they finally opened up for trials. I finally have a trial date. The judge was a real see-you-know-what, but we'll see how this all plays out. Looks like there's no deals, no nothing. I'm going to file some motions before, but I got a court date, September 17th, finally. I don't have to go back every 2 weeks. But I got some more anecdotes, but yeah, that's really it.
Okay, we'll be right back.
It's What's happening, ladies and gentlemen? We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Yeah, when you're dealing with the C-U-N-T's, you got to throw your N-U-T's inside the H-O-L's. Yeah, we're back. And we are, I'm telling you guys, why people aren't fighting back, I don't know. What is it, you guys afraid of prison? And well, I laugh, but that's actually
I am, but I'm still doing this. I'm not gonna lie, I don't want to go to prison.
Well, I'm being facetious.
Will Turbitt, pedophile, face down in his own tub after murdering three children. He just wrote a QAnon manifesto about the great points of white supremacy. You know, I don't. This is not something. Hey, yeah. Let me. You know how many people are? We talked about this briefly. How many people have died? How many people are in jail right now? Aaron Schwartz killed himself. Khalif Browder was in like solitary confinement for allegedly stealing a backpack. I mean, I mean, we're so lucky. And you know, behind the scenes during the break, we're kind of chatting, and I was saying, hey, B, that's why I say, like, you know, because they're coming so hard after people right now for just freedom of speech. There was the kid in Scotland who made his girlfriend's dogs do the Nazi salute because it was a cute dog, and he ruined it. And he ended up going, like, getting handcuffed, going to trial, not having they're having to force to pay something. Some guy said in the UK, hey, I don't know if I like this immigration policy. Police showed up at his door. We have people. What was the other example I was giving during the break that was far more extreme?
Mike,
me out here, Mike.
No. You were talking about the guy taking out the trash. The police taking out the trash, right?
Oh yeah. So yeah, that's exactly right. So there's you're talking about Texas in the break, and I know there's a bunch of First Amendment auditors and other activists going down to some point in Texas, La Pointe, Texas. I don't know. I can find out the details and I'll look it up and I'll get it to you at the end of the show. But James Freeman, a bunch of auditors going to be there. I don't even know the name of the auditor. Sorry. We're just shooting the crap about this behind the scenes. And this kid, I believe his name is Josh. I'll find out all the details. So stay tuned to the end of the show to find out. And this, we're coming up on a short segment here. We're going to have a much longer segment. But basically, this kid puts up on Facebook a picture of, and I don't even agree with this Facebook post. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even put this Facebook post out there because I believe that they're good cops. I don't believe anybody. I don't think you should make fun of death like that. I mean, it's funny. It's dark. It maybe belongs in a dark humor thing, but it is his First Amendment right to say this. And so we put a picture up of cops carrying out a casket, and it said, "This is how police take out their trash." And because of that, we're just talking about this behind the scenes, so I don't have like my notes in front of me. I always like to be prepared. But basically, he got hit with some charges saying like threatening violence against officers, and he's in jail right now. So the main point, the thrust of all this was, hey, you know, that's why I'm always overly nonviolent, not only because I believe it's a practical right thing to do, but people call into the show, FBI informants, as we documented on the show, V's put this out so much, I've put this out. They infiltrate groups, and then you got people for just saying something that is crazy now, or not even crazy, saying something that's their own freedom of speech, that's not violating anyone's rights. They're in jail right now. There's so many people that are dead. There's so many people that are in jail for freedom of speech. We're talking about Aaron Schwartz, Khalif Browder. It doesn't make a difference where you fall on the political spectrum. There's tons of people that have been murdered, tons of people that are political prisoners. So it's just a very, very crazy situation. But we have to really stand up for those people, man, because, you know, I interviewed this guy. I know we're coming up on a break, but I interviewed this one dude who's a doctor from the Dominican Republic. And long story short, he came out to visit New York. He'd never been there. And the cop said, oh, you're this guy that we're looking for. And they put him away in jail for like attempted murder, robbery, and all these other charges for 27 years. And everybody in his entire life abandoned him. The only people that didn't give up on him was his two daughters. And when you go to jail for something like that, you think you got friends now, but the government and the judges say they're a murderer. No. That person's a murderer. That person, this, that. You have everybody against you, man. You're just rotting in a cell by yourself. And that's even worse of fate to me than dying. So we really need to speak out for these little people.
All right. Well, you know what? I got a lot to add to that. We're going to go to commercial break. We'll come back for a long second. Stay tuned. A proud sponsor of the Smoochie Boochie Noochies. Look Leela eyeball to eyeballs and find out how they get inside them sugar pie walls. Our next guest, a real cutie specimen, and she's starting to get a little booty. Miss Judy Jetson. So Judy, boxers, briefs, or fig leaf. As you know, I wear my boxers, so my big...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
All right. Yeah, so a little heads up, tomorrow, guys, it's just gonna be me on the show. I want to cover a documentary because Will did mention there are some good cops out there, okay? And of course, what they do should be honored. The work they do is exemplary, especially when they become whistleblowers. You know, if I had my way, I would make it federal law for whistleblowers of any agency, any department, whether it's corporate or government. If you whistleblow on some major legal activity and it's proven in court, you should be able to be promoted to head of that department or head of that agency, you know, whatever, so that there is no chance of retaliation because you'd be the boss.
Brilliant idea.
Well, I mean, you want a major restructuring and you want justice and things to work correctly. That's the only way to do it.
That's literally the smartest thing I've ever heard on this whole situation. You incentivize people for doing the right thing that's never been done. It completely dismantles the blue line. I mean that is the smartest, most common sense, but I would never think about it, solution to this. Brilliant, fascinating. I'm going to write it in my book as solutions, and I'm going to definitely credit you. That's a freaking brilliant idea.
Well, I mean, people are always scared of retaliation. So, I'm going to, once again, just heads up to everybody, I'm going to cover the documentary Crime and Punishment. It's a Hulu original documentary. And you can find it on YouTube, yes. So, if you want to call into the show and you have your own thoughts about it, please do. Phone number is 800-313-9443. And so, I want to have a little comedy. I mean, the show is so intense, and I try to have as much fun as humanly possible whenever I can. But I want to introduce you guys to someone, and I know most of you guys know who this person is. He's been an internet sensation, but for those of you who don't, because I know some of my listeners are of the older crowd, so I want to bring in a few ideas concerning what you're going to listen to. So if we could play that first video, I would love it, please.
Call was a prison documentary series that focused on various prisons in the United States and some of the prisoners that were serving their sentence. These prisoners will be featured in the show to share their violent histories and thoughts on living behind bars.
Due to mature subject matter, viewer discretion is advised.
Lockup also had some spin-offs, but the one that is relevant to this story is the Lockup Raw spin-off. This series used footage that didn't make the cut in the original series, along with some commentary from the production crew that have been up and close with the prisoners and staff members. It isn't until the first episode of the fifth season that we're being introduced to Jerome Fleece Johnson, or now better known as Fleece Johnson.
Fleece Johnson stirred up more than his share of trouble behind bars. Johnson's first arrest was at the age of 15 for armed robbery. Since then, he has spent more than 30 years behind bars. Most of them.
During a short interview with Fleece Johnson, he talks about how he had to prove himself when he first entered prison.
This was like a gladiator school down here. You come down here, you're going to either fight or you're going to be somebody's punk. It's just that simple. So to survive in here, I had to fight. And so we fought. And I whooped their ass all around this prison.
Fleece Johnson has such an insatiable hunger for violence that most of his stories come across as just being reckless and unnecessarily violent that just end up being added to his prison sentence.
When they come up to my cell, say, back up, turn around, be handcuffed, I say, you come on in here and get me. Let's do it. When they come to fight me, they don't play. A lot of the officers that I fought, some of them quit it. A whole bunch of them quit it through me. I made them quit. Well, I took a 5-gallon bucket of boiling water with bleach and salt and everything in it. It was so hot, I took a spoon. And soon I threw it in there, it said, shh. It just curled up. That's how hot it was. And I threw it on him. Just threw the whole bucket on him.
What did he do that made you want him to assault him?
He disrespected me. That's all it takes. Back then, that's all it took, just a simple disrespect. I say I tore about 400 toilets out of the wall and tore them up. I tore up about 5,000 or 6,000 mattresses, probably 20-some thousand sheets and blankets and doors. I tore off the hinges and things like that. You talking millions. That they was, if one man was costing the state millions, and could nobody break me. Nobody.
Painting Fleece Johnson not only as a dangerous inmate, but also as a real hard nut to crack. Looking back at it now as an older man, Fleece Johnson shows remorse for his actions as he has put his violent past behind him, seemingly ending the story of Fleece Johnson. However, he returns in the fourth episode of the Lockup Raw series, where Fleece Johnson shares a different side of his violence, as he tells of his sexual conquest as a younger man in prison. Fleece Johnson truly gets raw as he speaks of the number one necessity in prison.
But when Lockup visited Kentucky State Penitentiary, we met Fleece Johnson, a longtime inmate who practices a very different kind of homosexuality.
Well, we have sexual desires, right? So you got a bunch of men locked up in one place. All of them get hard. All of them's horny. All of them got sexual desires. So what are they gonna do? You won't let them have a woman. They gonna have each of somebody's gonna have to give us some booty. And it's just that simple.
The most memorable story that Fleece told us was about the place and importance that booty has in a maximum security penitentiary. And he went on about it and on about it.
In his prison, booty. Booty was more important than food. Booty, a man's butt. It was more important, I'm sorry. It was more booty, having some booty, was more important than drinking water, man. I like booty.
Johnson went on to tell our crew how he used to satisfy his sexual desires, especially during the 1970s and 80s, when he was most active and prison security was more lax.
When I see one, and he looks good to me, when I go see him, I say, you come here. I say, I'm telling you what, I like you, and I want you. And we can do it the easy way or the hard way. So the choice is yours, right? And it was always yes.
Johnson also had a warning for the new generation of inmates. They might be asking for trouble from old-timers.
You know, they got this thing where they sag their pants past their butt. It's a style. They call it some sort of gangster style. You know, it's sexy to us, right? And see, but they weren't prepared for this, right? So you sag your pants in here, man, somebody be up in your butt, you know? And it's just that simple.
Johnson even let the lockup crew know that when he was in his prime, they wouldn't be safe from his advances either.
If y'all had been in here back then in them days, and as much as I like booty, I probably felt one of y'all butts as y'all was walking past me. And dared you to say so. I'm not no shame in my game. This is nothing that I'm ashamed to admit. I am what I am. I'm a warrior too, you know, so let that be known. I'm a warrior.
Fleece Johnson even gets spoofed as a character in the Boondocks series, which over time grew more popular than the original interview from Lockup Raw with him. As more people became aware of the original Fleece Johnson, many fake Twitter and Instagram accounts were made with something along the lines of Fleece, Booty Warrior, or Man's Butt, forever immortalizing Fleece Johnson as the Booty Warrior. There was a rumor that Fleece Johnson, at the age of 57, was set to be released from prison on September 1, 2015. However, the details around this are somewhat vague. Another post on the website claimed that Fleece Johnson was released on March 5, 2016, but got arrested again 8 days later for robbery. The link provided in the post doesn't lead to anything to verify the story, so it can't be said for certain. In another post on a different website, it was claimed that Fleece Johnson had a kill count of 157 booties, but again, there was no other source to verify this. All that's for certain is that Fleece Johnson most likely got out of prison, but whether or not he got caught again for something else is uncertain. In 2019, it's most likely that Fleece Johnson did get released and roams around in Kentucky on the prowl for pansexual youth. Well, I hope you liked this video.
Okay, yeah. So this is for all the old people out there who haven't heard about this. But yeah, the prison system, we need a reform. Okay, for the simple fact that you can go to jail, you go to prison for armed robbery and be in there for 30 years. Isn't the point of prison the penitentiary, you're supposed to, you know, show penance. You're supposed to be redeemed. You know, this is something that's based on some form of religion, you know, Christianity, etc., to have penance, to be redeemed, to be reformed. All I see is punishment, captivity, and in a lot of cases, slavery. This is not, it has nothing to do with penance. It really doesn't. What is 30 years behind bars supposed to teach a 15-year-old? It's not teaching him anything about the real world. It's not teaching him how to live in the real world if he were to be in the real world. All 30 years in a prison can do to teach 15-year-old is, hey, you have a new life now. And there are new rules. And so 30 years to a 15-year-old changed him into a 157-plus kill count of booties. I mean, okay, armed robbery, that's a serious thing. But for a 15-year-old, I kind of agree with the juvenile system aspect of it. If it's a serious crime, it's a serious crime. You should be out by the age of 18, no later than 21. Maximum. Anything less than murder, you should be let out. Okay, you gotta live a life. You got to have that slap on the hand. You've got to finish out the rest of your childhood learning about the real world and how to act. You shouldn't be taking people's lives from them, especially when they haven't had a chance at life. I mean, how do you feel about that, Will?
Totally agree. There's another documentary on Netflix. I can't remember the name of it. I'll get it in one sec. But basically, it was about juveniles being in that predicament, sentence as adults. They were basically put there in real prison, not juvenile detention, where they're just basically given to rape, to be raped by these people. It's obviously against the Eighth Amendment. As soon as I heard about it, my girl was telling me, I was like, yeah, it's against the Eighth Amendment. And the Supreme Court, I guess, found out that it was, and they resentenced all these kids. And the ironic thing is, or the unexpected or sad or however you want to, whatever adjective you want to put there, bad part about this is, you know, you see these kids going for these long times, and some of these crimes, yeah, are really, really bad. And, you know, they definitely should be, you know, I'm not one to assume what should happen to these people. I'm not the one to say what's the best way. I think there's definitely a better method than what we're doing now. But then there's other people that will have a bag of weed, or they'll have a almost inconsequential crime, or even an armed robbery. Meanwhile, pedophiles are getting out with probation, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, you know, and it's the double standard is absolutely crazy, let alone the politicians and the war criminals running free. Henry Kissinger still can't land in a few countries.
Well, there are prisons specifically for pedophiles. And I'm hearing that there's actually a combined effort where there are corrupt cops and inmates working together, killing pedophiles, putting hits on them. A lot of these pedophiles don't make it past 6 months or a year in prison because they're killed. So that's another reason and why. I mean, if the system can't make money off of you being a body and a cage, then, I mean, it's more expensive to pay for a burial, even a cremation, than to keep someone in jail for a few months. So there's no profit in it. It's more profit have them roam the streets on probation, have them pay their probation every month, pay off the courts, pay off the court fines, pay off everything else. The court's about profit. It's not about, once again, we've escaped the reality of rehabilitation, learning from one's mistakes. That's not what the system is about. We got Felice Johnson doing so much destruction of property, it has cost the state at least $1 million. I mean, come on. Well, not the state, the people. Let's be real. Your tax money has gone into that. Okay? Your tax money. When the guy should have had... And they're so ready to deploy mental health professionals out on the streets with these cops. Because, you know, such and such over here says vaccines are bad for you. And there's the police there. Because your guns have been taken away from you, and there's the police there. And you can't fight back, can't do anything. But even though you've broken no laws anyways, there's going to be a mental health professional to deem you crazy and to be able to lock you up. Meanwhile, in the prison system, where's that mental health professional to help redeem you? Won't be found. Won't be found. And so we get individuals like this. Can we play the next clip?
When he was sent to Poulsmore, convicted of murder.
I was 14 years old.
You were 14 years old?
14 years old.
And you came to Poulsmore then?
I came to Poulsmore as a juvenile.
Yeah, and what was your sentence?
I sentenced myself 9 years.
But how come you've been here so long then?
In the prison, I go to the 28th. They told me, okay, I gave you a number, and you must kill a guy in the cell. And they give me a knife. And the other guy came and strangled him, and I took the knife and stabbed him in his heart. And two times the blood came out.
Yeah. And you did that because you were ordered to, yeah?
Yes.
Because you were 28.
I'm 28, yes.
So the warden's frightened of you?
If there is a warden, it's not right here in prison. I told the 27. You what the 27 is, there's a knife for you. You must kill the warder or the major or the captain. And the 27, he told me, salute my brother and go. You can watch. And then I go to the cell there.
Yeah, and you watch.
And then watch.
So what would happen if the 27s didn't follow your orders?
I killed them. We cannot stand for that duty.
Sure.
I killed him.
The general seemed prepared to talk about the number, so I decide to risk asking him about the initiation rite his junior ranks have been so afraid to talk of.
If a person comes in the cell, my duty is to ask him for what he is here and how long he... And I told him, you sleep there. And if it's not the number, I have sex with him.
You have sex with him?
I have sex with him.
How do you have sex with him? You hold him down?
I hold him down. My face him.
You face him, yeah?
Sex with him.
You hold him down. Does someone else help you hold him down, or you do it on your own?
No, he's scared for me.
So he has to have sex.
Yeah, then he lay.
The secret rites and brutal code of the number are becoming clear to me. Either you fight your way up the ranks, or become a permanent victim of sexual abuse.
I have sex with a man.
19 years you have sex with a man?
With a man.
Does that make you gay?
No.
Why not?
I'm not a gay.
What are you then, a man?
I'm a daughter, a man.
Right, you're the man, but what about the man that gets fucked, what's he?
He's a woman.
He's a woman?
Yeah, a wifey, a woman. I'm telling you, you must wash my clothes. He do it. I give him bread, food. I give him a bed. And I wash them, he's all right.
So do you have a lady in here now, a lady boy in here now?
I have one.
How long have you been with that one?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Do you change regularly, yeah?
Yeah, I change, yes.
You just walk up to them and you go, you will be my wife?
Yes, she comes sleep by me. At my bed.
If they don't do that, what happened?
Killed him.
Yeah. Well, that's the reality of the situation. When I say we, I mean all of us. Well, I'll say all of you. I don't pay taxes. I don't support terrorism. I don't fund terrorism. But for you out there who pay taxes, you are funding these little pocket worlds all over your country that are basically MK Ultra universes. When I say MK Ultra, I mean ritualistic abuse centers. But what have you been hearing me speak about in this on this show? This show's all about MK Ultra. Well, this is one of its most known and most glorious forms of ritualistic abuse. Okay? The CIA. It's one of the most. It's their shining pearl. It's the crown jewel, the prison system. Okay. MK Ultra abuse. Okay, guys, we're gonna be right back. We're gonna go to a commercial break. We'll be back at the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
For 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendabite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendabite. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.